This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kahn.
Hi, I'm Alan Daly. I've been an Agile coach for some time, and now learning about how Agile can be adapted in other environments, or how I can take on other organizational change efforts and mix in some good principles and help organizations change and get better. So those relationships between humans and people and the organizations and the results they want to get are the things that I focus on.
This is a continuing episode of a series where we discuss a systems thinking tool called PositWid. The purpose of a system is what it does. With this thinking tool, we've described how it can help us on a personal basis, or maybe help us understand somebody else, like a leader, about a new intent that maybe isn't public. What does that mean to us if we're going to think about the system?
Oh, wow. I think, you know, anyway, I've taken training in systems coaching, right? There's a thought of when you're coaching an organization and you want people to change, rather than forcing people to change, you look at the relationships between people and the processes and you coach that system, right? And so this tool is helpful when you have that sort of mindset of what is our system? What are the processes and policies and relationships and meetings and cadences and all that stuff that's going on? Are all of these things meeting our stated purpose, or are they meeting some other purpose? Right. And if we're not meeting our stated purpose and we're frustrated, well, what is it that we are meeting? And then what needs to change in our system and the way we work together and all those other things that will either get us closer to our stated purpose or changes our stated purpose?
Yeah.
And I think we have more alignment, more congruence, less stress if we are operating our system in a way that matches what we think it should do.
Yeah.
That might mean changing our stated purpose, or it might mean changing what we do so we match our stated purpose, depending on what we want.
Awesome. Because there's a couple of directions we can go here. So, like, for example, one of the things you mentioned earlier was, like, you're at a startup company, and the Flickr example, and they discovered that the market saw them differently than what their purpose was. There was dissonance, meaning people were like struggling and fighting and maybe unhappy. Right. And then they pivoted to just doing maybe exactly what the market was, or adjusting to, so they're mostly hitting what the market wanted and maybe invented a new market need on the way. And that probably meant, I wasn't that Flickr, but it probably meant reorganizing some things and changing people's jobs and blah, 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 because
probably,
they probably no longer needed if they were a dating site, you know, they no longer needed a relationship matching survey, for example, or something like that, right? But if they had a bunch of people working on that, now all of a sudden they're not doing that. And so in the real world, when this happens, there's going to be a number of people who are upset. They're going to feel like losers in this like contest of, you know, we didn't successfully get to this stated purpose. Now we have a new purpose. Now we're kind of like on the outside looking at, how do I say that? We're uprooted, and now we may need to find something, or we will have to find something new to do. And so that's that back to this emotional, the human system now is like, there's a lot of people stressed out because they don't know what they're going to do, because their situation changed. And so I'm going to take this a little further here. Here's my opinion. My opinion is, then if we're smart about this, we know we need to pivot if that's going to be best for our company. And if our purpose is to succeed as a company doing something, maybe not exactly what we thought it was, but to this new thing, then we want our company organizational systems to, this is my opinion, to help allay, if we like people and don't want to have high turnover, we need to allay those fears and open their minds to another opportunity to do something that's to the purpose of the company.
Yes. When you decide that your purpose is shifting, right, that we need to change the way to match our purpose, or our purpose has to change completely as a leader, manager, owner, whatever, of an organization, certainly you need to have the people factor in mind. Right. How is this going to affect the people that I lead? What can I do to invite them in this change, or help them out of the change?
Yeah.
And that might not mean out of the company, but
right.
Often, sadly, you know, these kinds of changes are
stressful because the system wasn't designed, the system being the company, wasn't designed to be, how do I say this? Advertise that we're very flexible and we can change our mind at a moment's notice. They're usually designed to produce the result, which is, if you will, the dating app. They had things organized around the dating app. And the only people now that didn't get disrupted are the people who are doing something to do with images on the site. There probably are companies who are more fluid and dynamic than what I'm used to. But most companies, like the ones I'm used to, have your purpose in the company is attached to your job title. And so there's a lack of flexibility built into companies.
Yeah, this is a big topic.
Well, because where I'm going with this is if the system, okay, so if, hang on, so we don't have to address and fix everything in the world. Maybe right. This pivot just needs to happen and everything's good. And we don't need to pivot 10 more times in the year. Oh, okay. So we live with the disruption. We don't redesign our company to become maybe more teal or whatever. I don't know what the solution is to make it more easy to change job roles and titles and just move forward on the new change. Maybe we only do this disruption occasionally, right? So we don't need to have a system that's designed for dealing with that disruption.
Yeah, and it's dependent on the type of product you're talking about. It's depending on the type of industry you're in. There's all kinds of factors there. But what we want to do is, just thought that hit my head. This model of intent becomes the purpose, the stated end purpose, and then the purpose is what we do. That can be a good model for the conversation of why the change needs to happen. Right. Yeah, as a manager, leader, I could say, here's our stated purpose. Here's what we're actually doing and what our customers are actually doing or whatever. Here's what the market's doing. And we have to match that. We can't stay here. We have to shift. And so then you come up with systems to help people, individuals or groups of people, to figure out how that shift affects them and what they want to do about it. Support them with good severance or retraining, or have them train while they're still employed, or whatever it is that makes sense and possible to do for the shift that you're talking about.
So those are systems of, if you will, I'm going to use the word remediation. It's probably not the most positive word, but I can't think of another one right now to say we're course correcting, and so now we need to apply some things for course correcting. And the reason why that's disruptive to an employee is because perhaps the information that the leadership was working with isn't transparent to everybody else at the company because, well, that costs a little bit of time or maybe a lot of bit of time to stay abreast of and go to the same meetings that the leaders are doing where they're discussing maybe this direction isn't the right direction. Maybe they've been discussing it for a few months because usually these course corrections honestly aren't like over a weekend. There's usually some feeling of dissatisfaction and trying to beat the market or change, trying to succeed in the market. And then eventually there's a point where somebody says, look, it's not working. I'm ready to make a decision. And so during that period of time, there's actually a lot of conversations and there tends to be, this is my opinion based on my lived experience, that leadership is keeping that kind of conversation within themselves. Oh, wow. I made a heart over Skype. they're keeping that to themselves. and so they're not that surprised because they're trying to not disturb the traction that they're already doing with the existing work in progress.
Right. So private intent, I'll classify what you just talked about as perhaps we're trying to figure out what the private intent or private conversations, maybe private's the wrong word, but we'll run with it rather than sit here and try to think some private conversations or private thinking around changes is often, it's not evil. It's often necessary for the reasons you stated, like, our company's doing okay and we're moving along. If we start talking about how we're going to shift from dating to photos, it's going to disrupt them and distract them, and they're going to be thinking about possibilities, positive and negative, instead of getting the work done that we need done now.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Good.
So managers are not evil when they're circumspect about how much they share.
Uh-huh.
I think the problem is that sometimes they're too circumspect, and then things become a surprise.
Mm.
Now, one might argue that a brief, big surprise is less disruptive than 4 months of conversation that distracts for 4 months. I don't know. It's hard to decide. You can only decide whether you did it the right way, slowly or suddenly, was correct or not in retrospect. And even then, you don't get a full answer because you didn't actually try the other alternative. So, this discussion makes me think of a company that I started coaching in, and I was like a month into it, and I couldn't figure out why everybody was positive and they loved to have me be there, but I wasn't getting traction. Making any changes, and I couldn't figure out why. And then I was after about a month I was there, I showed up and the vibe was totally different and kind of gloomy and whatever. And I'm like, what's going on? I said, well, they finally went through with it and decided to lay off all the product managers because they weren't thinking from on-premise, on-server software to mobile software. We couldn't get them to shift. Mm. We need different product people. We just laid them all off. And they knew that a month before, but they couldn't tell me yet because they were still trying to get the shift to happen without doing a layoff. Or they were, at some point, I'm sure a week or two before, they were getting the mechanisms in place to be able to do the layoff. Mm. Oh, yes, layoffs are sad, but when you have a lot of people who can't or don't want to make a significant shift, or the market is leaving you behind and you've got to make a big difference, sometimes those things are kind of sudden. But hopefully, again, there's many tools to communicate that, but one of those tools can be this purpose is what it does kind of intent model, to have that discussion of what's different now than what we said before. And can we agree that it's now different? And then we can talk about, because of this difference, here's what has to change.
Agile Grande teaches you systems thinking through dramatic storytelling, such as Carter takes a job to improve a logistics company's adaptability, but efforts to scale agile practices are being blocked by Mr. Chernesky, a vice president who's organized the company into siloed pigeonholes in order to secretly make millions with a dark web shipping service. Carter's life is in danger. He goes underground, and a spy agency hunts for him. When Carter uses systems thinking, systems modeling, and organizational change to save his company and his life, you get to learn how to apply that to your organization as well. Get your free copy of Agile Grande at leanpub.com. Check out the show notes, and we will have some goodies in there for you, such as an image of Positwood from Alan Daly, as well as ways to connect with him and any other thing we could find that was valuable to you. What are show notes? Show notes show up in your podcast player for your easy access as soon as this episode is loaded. However, if you downloaded this episode from a website, go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see show notes there. The series started at episode 285. If you missed that episode, go to agilethoughts.info and type into the search box there the episode that you would like to listen to. Next episode, more Alan Daly.
So the one thing we only touched on that maybe is worth digging into a little bit is dysfunctions. In other words, maybe we do want our stated purpose. Maybe we are as public as possible with all of our intentions. But the way we work, the way we are structured, the way we reward people, whatever it is, doesn't support our stated purpose.